and about spending Rosh Hashanah at home instead of in shul. So first of all, I want you to know that Rav Yaakov Zon is going to give out a printed piece of paper with all the guidelines, the halachic guidelines of what you are allowed to say when you are at home davening without a minyan, and which things you can't say. So that will be coming tomorrow or Thursday, all nicely printed out. So we're not going to discuss that tonight.
excuse me, Rabbi. Will these instructions be sent out by the Gra email?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
The Yetzer Hara might come and try and convince us that if I'm by myself at home and I didn't get the chance to get into a shul and to daven in the shul with the rest of the tzibu, so he might come and convince us, look, there's no chance of me davening properly. I'm not used to davening at home. I'm not sure exactly how to do it. And I'm missing the whole atmosphere of being with everyone else, like I'm used to for many, many years. Ever since I remember Rosh Hashanah, I've always been in shul as a little child. I'm going to be missing it. I won't be able to cope with it. So we should realize that this is the Yetzer Hara speaking. And adarabah, there might be quite a few points which actually might improve our davening and our avoid on Rosh Hashanah. Firstly, I would say that we should look at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a personal private letter, and he told us exactly where to go and daven. Meaning, when you go in the shul, so you go to shul, because everyone goes to shul. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, I want you to daven at home. So it means he's giving you the exact address, this is where I want you to be, and this is where I want to hear what you have to say. That's number one. And really, if you do feel sad about it, and you're upset about it, so maybe that's what you should be crying to Hashem about. That I wasn't even allowed to go to the shul. And I can't even go come and daven with everyone else. And maybe just by crying about this, you've already achieved what you needed to achieve. Because you're upset about how things are, you're missing your company with Hashem, and you're crying about it. How much would you give to daven in one room only with Reb Chaim Kanievsky or with some other godly? I'm sure you'd all be willing to give quite a lot on it. Well, you'll be able to daven on your own in the room just with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another quality which might come out of it is that you'll be able to daven in your own personal pace. Sometimes when we daven in shul, we have to follow the pace of the shul, whether it's sometimes too fast or sometimes too slow, and we need to keep up. Here you can set your own pace exactly where you want to slow down, where you want to spend some more time on. That's another mile that we have when we daven at home. And generally speaking, the whole matter that we're in, this whole situation that the world is in, should be much easier to open our hearts than a regular year, where even Rosh Hashanah has become a bit of a rote, exactly what we do, and we daven, and here we sing, and here we do this. And here, suddenly, we are in a difficult situation, every one of us, especially the ones who are locked at home and can't go out. So that itself should open up our hearts and get us to be able to daven in a more deeper way. The fact that this year we've seen very, very clearly that Kodesh Baruch Hu can change the world in a second, completely different world, that could open up our eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the world the same way for the good. Suddenly Mashiach can come. His malchus might be revealed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly in control. It's much easier this year to have kavana about that and davening than any other year. Not to talk about the fact that when you're at home, many of us at least, will have much less distractions than you have in shul. You look at what your neighbor is just about to do now. What's this woman wearing for Yom Tov? And all kinds of things that you can get distracted, which you don't have at home. I think we should look at it a bit like a child who gets sent to his room during the Shabbos meal. He very much wants to be part of the Shabbos meal, but the main thing he wants, he's knocking on the door, please let me in. So that's how we should picture ourselves, with this little child which is locked away, and we're knocking on the door, please Hashem, let us back in to your palace. And there's a discussion going on in this country, or really all over the place. What is this lockdown all about? Is the situation as serious as they say, that we need to all be locked away and can't go to shul? Or is it something that they have, the government has something against the religious Jews? Well, I'll tell you, either way, there's something to cry about. And either way, the situation is very precarious. Whether it is that there's so many chaylim, there's so many cases that they can't stop it without locking us away for 3 weeks, that's enough to cry about. And if Chas v'Shalom is the other way around, that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace, in Eretz Yisrael, instead of us being able to build the Beis HaMikdash and do Torah and mitzvahs, we have people who are roidif the das, and they try to stop us, that's no less of a reason to cry about. If you're going to say, look, but I want to be part of the tzibu. I want to have the schus of the tzibu. Well, there are ways of doing that even from home. You can be carrying the burden of the tzibu. You can take responsibility for the needs of the tzibu. And you can daven also about other people, not only about yourself. They say regular people daven only for themselves. Better people daven for others. And the great people daven for the whole of Klal Yisrael. If you want, and you need to improve your davening, you want to be part of the tzibu, you can have in mind all the sick people who are alone in the hospitals. They're not at home alone, like we will be, but they're alone in the hospitals. They can't even be visited by their relatives. You can think about the relatives of the cholim that are home worrying about their relatives and far away from them and they can't get to them. And maybe we should have that same feeling, that longing that they want to be spending time with their relative which is sick in hospital. That longing we should have, we want to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. You can be thinking about the Yesoyim and Almonis, the people who have lost their husbands at young age and the little kids are left without the father. How much would they want their father? This is how much we should want our father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have a little practical suggestion on Rosh Hashanah night, the first night, there's a minhag that you go over to all your friends and all your acquaintances and you wish them Lashana Toiva, Tikosei V'Sei Chosein, La'alta L'chaim Toivim El'Sholim. Have a suggestion. Maybe make yourself a list on Erev Rosh Hashanah about all the people that you want to wish that to. And on Friday night after the davening, go through the list, say, Ploini ben Ploini, Lashana Toiva, Tikosei V'Sei Chosein. And go on, every single person, say his name and wish him the Lashana Toiva. The Rav, Rabbi Kornfeld, pointed out to me a very important point, that the Shulchan Aruch says in Tov Kuf Pei Beis, Sif Tes, that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Yomim Neroim, one should be davening out loud. Out loud means Shmoyne Esrei should be davened out loud. The reason why we don't do it in shul is because it would be disturbing other people. But when we're at home by ourselves, we can be Mekayim this din, and we should be davening Shmoyne Esrei out loud, which obviously is going to help us out with our Kavona. It's very interesting, if you look in your Machzor, and the art scroll is in page 482, there's the famous quote, Usheshuva, Usefilo, Usedoko, Ma'avirin Ezroya HaGezeiro, which I'm sure doesn't need to be translated. So if you look in page 482, when it says those words, so there's a small print on top of the word Tshuva, it says Tzoyim. tiny little print in all the Machzorim, not only the art scroll. Tshuva means tzorim, fasting. Stock on the other side is momoin. You give money. And tfilo, it says koil. It says with a loud voice. So there must be something specific about the tfilo, which is mavir in ezroya agzeir, which will take away the evil of the decree, is the crying out loud, as they say in English. So that's very important. The rest of the tfilo as well, but even Shmoyne Esre can be at home, said out loud, and which would enforce and make better our kavona. And especially that you can slow down and you can take notice of every word. For example, every year we say with great kavona, Avinu Malkeinu, all the different bakoshes of Avinu Malkeinu, we say it again and again by every single tefillah. I doubted how many people last year when they said Avinu Malkeinu mena magefo mena chalosecho. How many people actually had kavona? Did we swallow that one? You know, we davened for Rufuo last year. We davened for Panosa. But how many of us had kavona about that one? So maybe we should learn our lesson. And not one word should be skipped because we don't know which one we're going to need. I was actually thinking about it when it happened a few weeks ago. You know, suddenly I started having a kavona when it says Kalei Dever. Kodesh Baruch Hu should stop Dever, which is what's happening with us over here, where people are dying in masses. But then that's what I had kavona. Then it says Cherev, Kaledev, Vecherev, Ushvi, Umashkis, Vehovoin. But it also says that Kodesh Baruch Hu should stop Bizo, looting. I didn't think, what's it got to do with looting? Suddenly a few weeks later, there's looting all over America. People were losing their shops and everything with looting. Every word that we daven in the davening, even though we think that it's not relevant, in a second it can become relevant. So that should slow us down, and we should and give attention to every single word without skipping anything. It says in the Holy Sforim Akdoshim, in the name of the Arizal, that the Arizal said that your hair would fall out if you would know the great tikkunim of every single word of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, if it was just said with the kavon of Perush Hamilus, just knowing the translation and the meaning of the word. Another issue which will come up in Mirz Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is that davening, even if you're going to say it slowly and with lots of kavona, you might have some extra time. And some people have extra time on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Brura brings in Tovkif Pei Gimel that there's a minhag to say the whole of Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah. So I would suggest that maybe all the spare time we have, we should all be saying Tehillim. And once again, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Aleph, it's much better to do a little with kavona than a lot without kavona. Make sure you have some kind of tehillim, a translation or something, and say it slowly. So much so that the great Briskerov, who was the greatest goyim of the previous generation and was learning Torah day and night, his minhag was on Rosh Hashanah, he wasn't learning in a free time. He was saying tehillim every single spare second, and he explained that if he would be learning, he might have to stop here and there to open up a sefer, to bring a sefer from the cupboard. With tehillim, I can just go on and not miss a second. Because our avoid on Yom Kippur, as the Mashgiach in Lakewood said, is that with 2 days, for 48 hours, is spending our 48 hours in the palace of the king. That's where we are. We get meals in the palace of the king, but we are in the palace of the king all the time. And in the palace of the king, we're busy with the king all the time. Non-stop. And the fact that we are concerned about it, that our avodah won't be as good as we want it to be, You know, it says that in the end of the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we make a Truah Gedoila. We actually make a Tkiah Gedoila. And they say that this Tkiah Gedoila has the power to break the Satan. And Mefarshim explained that it breaks the Satan by the fact that we're making a Tkiah Gedoila, we're making one more last one, we make it longer, is because we're showing how much the mitzvahs are there to us and how much Avodah Hashem is there, that we make it a little bit longer, to hang on to it a bit longer. That breaks the Satan. So maybe that longing that we're going to have can also break the Satan. Not only can break the Satan, can mix up the Satan. You know, we make two tkiyas, Miyushev and Umar, to mix up the Satan. Mix up and go to Chun, he won't see us there. So we'll be at home. So maybe that's going to, hopefully that's going to mix him up as well. One halachic thing which is important to know, that if you daven b'yechidus and you don't have a minion next to your house or anything, you literally daven by yourself, you have to be careful not to daven musaf and not to be yoytzim shofar before 9:30, before Gimel Shazuyam. In the first 3 hours of the day, no musaf and no shofar b'yechidus, which is about 9:30 in the morning on Shabbos and on Sunday. There's a big issue about with people when they are told that the davening of Rosh Hashanah, as you can open up your machzor, you'll see it's all about Malchus Shamayim, it's all about Kvoid Shamayim. So there's a big discussion about what about asking for my own personal needs, which obviously this year are greater than every other year. So they already bring from Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon and the Chazon Ish, that when a person thinks about his personal needs, just the thought itself, that he knows that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decree whether he's going to get what he needs and save from what he doesn't want to have, and that all Hatzlocha that he might have or not have is all just and only depending on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is already the kiyum of Malchus Yisborach. That is Malchus Shemayim. So if, as if you're saying the psukim of Malchus Shemayim, you're saying that within the back of your mind, you know that you need this and you hope for that, but you know that it's all depending on Him. That is an expression of a Malchus Shemayim, according to their opinion. And if you feel that you can't get to a feeling of davening for Kvod Shemayim and being feeling the pain kiviyochal v'kodesh Baruch Hu of the Golus and the Hester upon him, so that itself, that you want to be like that and that it's bothering you, that's also good already. It's bothering. I want to at least be disturbed by the Kvod Shemayim, which is lacking. That's also something already. When we daven about Kvod Shemayim, they bring from the Arizal that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we should mainly concentrate, even when we're saying about our needs, we should concentrate about Ruchmis. Because on the first day, the din is on the Neshomas and on the Pnimius. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is about Gashmis, where the din is about the Chitzoinis, the outer layers of the world. And after you have davened Belev Sholem, on the regular Nusach, which the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle have established for us in the Shemoneh Esrei, then in each one of those days, you should concentrate on your personal bakoshes of Ruchnis and Gashmis. But I found more than that. I found the Bitzel Blaser, the Bitzel Peterburg brings from his Rebbe of the Soil Salanta, that we see in our days, and he's talking about his day and for sure in our days, when a person is preoccupied with worries of Parnoso or other things, we're not on the level to be thinking about the Golus Hashchina. And for sure, if a person would have to go and have a court case in a courthouse or in a Beis Din, in Teira, he'd be so preoccupied he won't be able to be thinking about anything else than this court case that he's having. So he says, if we really believe, Sol Salanta said, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Yemei Adin is going to be decided death, life and death, Chas V'Sholem. So he says, it doesn't even come into question that we should be asking for Golus Hashchina. He says, in the earlier generations, where they knew that there was a Yom Hadin, and they were very aware of it, but there was a type of Mesirus Nefesh on their behalf, not to worry about their private things and to ask only in Kibbutz Shemayim. They knew that there was a need and they had the feeling that they wanted to, but they were on the level that they can give it up. But he says, us, if we will be asking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur only for Golus Hashchina, that would show that we're not believing truly and fully that it's a Me'a Din L'chaim U'lomomis. And it says a person shouldn't fool himself. So it's very important a person shouldn't fool himself. If our feeling is that we just want to get life for ourselves and the needs that we need for life, then that's what we should be concentrating on. You say a Moshel with a story with a certain father who had five children, five sons. And this person was very, very wealthy and he was getting old and he wanted to give out all the things that he has to his various children. So he went around one and the other and asked them, what would you like to get? And the first one said, look, I want all your factories, daddy. He said, okay, I'll give you all the many factories that I own. The second guy says, look, I want all your real estate. All the various things that you own in buildings and everything all over the place. The third one said, I want all your stocks that you own in the stock market. The third one said, I want a pie of pizza and a bottle of Coca-Cola. So obviously, he was very upset about that fourth son asking this. The fifth son happened to have been in hospital, in a coma, already for a few weeks. And the doctors had told him that it's important that people should go and visit him every single day to stimulate his brain and so on and so forth. So the father goes that day and visits his fifth child in the hospital and he tells him what he's been doing today. And he sort of said, I wonder what you would like to get. And suddenly a thing happens and the son wakes up and he says, I would like a cup of water, please. And everyone gets very happy and the doctors come running and everyone and he calls up all his family. You know, he woke up, he asked for a cup of water. So the fourth brother said, why did you get so upset when I asked for a pizza? And he only asked for a cup of water and everyone is so happy. The answer is obvious. So Mamela, even if in the previous generations, if we would have asked about our personal needs, it would have been like the kid who was asking for a bottle of Coke. But nowadays, unfortunately, we are like the fifth child. And if we only ask for water, that's already a nais. There's a yesod by the Rambam, which I think is important in our avodah on Rosh Hashanah. It's in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes over there that we don't say Hallel, not on Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur, because the days of avodah, and of Pachad, and of Yiro, and he says, there are days of Mivrach Umbonois Eilov. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of escaping and running away. Where are we escaping or running away to? Takodish Bochum. The Eben Ezra says a similar idea also in Tehillim Kuflametes, and that parak the Eben Ezra says is the most important parak of the whole of Tehillim. So he says over there, Pshata, the same idea. So we're running away from the fear of the Yemei Adin and of the Eimas Adin. Where are we running to? We're running to Lakodish Bochum himself. A moshe to explain that is would be if a father gave his little child an order not to play about with a certain expensive item, and the child didn't listen to the father and he played with the expensive item and it broke, and the child sees as he's going to be punished by his father, and he understands that there's no way to run away from the punishment, so he runs towards his father and holds on to his leg tightly. And he says, please, daddy, don't punish me. Don't hit me. That should be our gisha, how we should go about the Eimas Adin. Run away and just hold on to Hashem himself. Because Hashem, it says in the Pasuk, Zivchei Elohim Ruach Nishbor. The best zevach, the best korban you bring to Elohim, Elohim is Midas Adin, is Ruach Nishbor, is a broken spirit. Leiv nishba v'nitke, the pasuk says in Tehillim, a broken and a depressed heart, Elohim lo yisiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn away. So even in Midas Adin, if we go and we're broken and we're worried and we're scared what's going to be with us, just hold on to his leg and beg for mercy. We say in the davening on Rosh Hashanah by Musaf, in the Ashkel Siddur is 510, we say over there in the Zichronos, we say the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything. And on the last line it says, Ma'ase ishuf kudosoi va'alilois mitzad egover, machshivois odom esach b'loiso v'yitzrei male le'ish. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everyone's deeds and everyone's mission and accomplishments and a man's thoughts and schemes and the motives behind the man's deeds. It means that the Zichronos, we need to be aware of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the thoughts that we think about and what our real sheifas are. We get judged on Rosh Hashanah for what we really want to be. Right? In the famous parak, we say, L'David Hashem, we say, Acha sha'alti me'is Hashem, what I really want, Oysavakish, that's my zchus of surviving the din. Rav Volbe points out, it's an amazing thing. He points out that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Omer Rab Yitzchok, Ein donin es ha'odam elu lefi ma'isav shelo yisa sho. Rab Yitzchok says we don't judge the person only according to his action at that very same moment. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk which is read in the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah, Kishoma Elokim el koi lanar basher husham. It's talking about Yishmoel as a child was crying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to his davening, Ba'asher Husham. Says Rashi, Ba'asher Husham, afilu hu osid la'ashi al-achazman, he knew very well that Yishmoel would become terrible. But at that very moment he was fine, so at that very moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillahs. And that's our attitude, says Rabbi Yitzchok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us according to our deeds at that very same moment. The fact that we are worried that Chas V'Sholem in the next year will go back to our veiras and we'll be nichshol again, that's not the point. Right now on Rosh Hashanah, in the palace of the king, what do I want? What do I really want to be? Where do I really want to be? That's where we get judged. And he says that if you look over there on the side of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Chananel brings from the Yerushalmi, that it says in the pasuk in Iyoy, it doesn't say the Yerushalmi says imzach v'yosher ha'yiso, and imzach v'yosher ato. Meaning, says the Avolbe, that Rabbi Chananel is teaching us from the Yerushalmi that not only do we not take into account the future, but we also don't take into account the past. It doesn't say zach v'yosher ha'yiso, you were yosher the rest of the year, and zach v'yosher ato right now. So on Rosh Hashanah, if we keep this in mind, don't worry about what happened before. Don't worry what's going to happen later on. Right now, where you're holding in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how you get judged. A good thing to do, obviously, is to show where you're holding, is to be mekabel a certain Kabbalah, a small little hanhoga, something very, very little, as long as you can make sure that you can keep it, because with that mekabel of that one little thing, you're showing, I want to become better. And I know that I hardly can keep what I'm keeping. But my sheifa is to go up. And that's why I add one little thing. And I'll give you a mashul of one little thing. There's a story with the mother of the Vilna Goyim. That she got together with a friend to go and collect tzedakah for the aniyim in Vilna. For a specific need. And they went round and round and they spent quite a lot of time and effort on this tzedakah. And they were very good friends, and they decided that whoever one of them goes on to the next world first should come and tell them what's how they're getting for it. So the mother of the Goyen is the one who passed away first, and she came to a dream to her friend. And she said, you know, I get more schar than you for this mitzvah in Shomayim. You know why? Because at one point, we were going there, and I was pointing out to a certain house, maybe we should go and collect there. For that lifting the arm that I did to point out that another place where we can go and raise money, that itself I'm getting more schar for in Shomayim. Just to give us an idea of how little our Kabbalah needs to be, but that 1 millimeter shows us where we're really heading to. The Altar of Kelm says that we saw Salanta when he says Zochreinu L'chaim, the first edition in the Shmoyin Esra, Zochreinu L'chaim, he was very, very marich. He took a long time saying it. And he says that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta told him that in his opinion, somebody who says that filler shortly and not with full concentration is a certain bechino retzeach. He's a murderer in a certain bechino. Because if a person knows that in this filler, his life and the life of his family are depending on, and he's saying that without the proper concentration, the proper kavona, so that's a serious thing. The two writes in Simon Tov Kuf Pei Beis that this sentence of Zocheinu Lechaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim, remember us for life, the King who wants life, V'chosveinu B'sefer Achaim L'man Cholukim Chaim, and write us down in the book of Chaim for your sake, Elohim Chaim, that sentence has 68 letters. And 68 is the same gematria as the word Chaim, also 68. And it's also 68 letters of Aleph, which are found in the Aseres HaDibros. And he says that what we're davening over there is in the Schus of the Torah, which is represented by the 68 Aleph. Aleph is the beginning of the Torah in the Aseres HaDibros. Eitz Chaim Hi LaMachzikim Bo, that is where we're coming from. So we all need to be Mechazik our Keshe with Torah, each one on their way, whether learning Torah or supporting the people who learn Torah, pushing our family members to learn more Torah. That's the schus that we're asking Zocheinu L'chaim. That's what the Torah says. The Goyen already pointed out that we add two things at the beginning of the Shmoyin Esra, Zocheinu L'chaim and Micho Moicho. He says those two are going on Chaim Ruchni. And the other ones, the other two in the end of the Shmoyin Esra, Chsoiv, L'chaim Toivim Kol B'nei V'Resecho, and the Sefer Chaim Brocha V'Sholom, they're going about Gashmias. And he says the Raya is, that in the beginning we say, M'chosveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, whereas at the end, we say B'Sefer Chaim. Sefer Chaim is the book of life, that's life of Gashmias, a person can be alive and have what he needs. But Sefer HaChaim, that's the life, that's the life with Ruchnis. And that's what we daven for in the beginning of Ashmoyne Esrei. You know, at one point, or not at one point, in many points of the Shmoyne, of the davening on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Asei l'mancho im lo l'maneinu. We say, Hashem, do it for your sake if you don't do it for our sake. So I saw a story, I think it's a true story, and it's used as a mashal, that there was a certain Jew in Paris who his neighbor was the father-in-law of the king of Morocco. And he knew that the king of Morocco comes to visit his father-in-law from time to time in Paris. And he had a good relationship with him. And he said, you know, next time when the king comes, I would like to meet him and see him. So he said, okay, when you come, when he comes, I will invite you. So the king arrived and he told him, tomorrow you're going to come and see him. So this neighbor came with his little bar mitzvah boy who had just had bar mitzvah. And he introduced him to the king of Morocco. And he asked him, what is this bar mitzvah? Explained to him what happened. And he said what the meaning of it is. And make him a party. And so on and so forth. And the king of Morocco took out his checkbook and wrote a very large amount as a present for this bar mitzvah boy. So the father-in-law said, you know, you give 100, 200 euro present. Why did you give such a large amount? I think it says 40,000 euro. So he said that, you know, I'm a king. I can't give a present like everyone else. So they were saying, that's what we're davening. Asei l'manchem lo l'maneinu. You, Hashem, you don't write small checks. Do it for your sake. Do it. You're the king. You're the melech ha'olam. Not l'maneinu. We maybe deserve only a small check. But give us your type of check. Another thing which in the past has helped me in my davening is when we say Ovinu Malkeinu. What is this Ovinu Malkeinu? What is this double lashon? So it helps, I think, to have kavona by every single one of them. Ovinu means I father, meaning I'm sure you want to give it to us. And Malkeinu means you can give it to us, you have the ability to give it to us. So each one we should have this kavona. Ovinu, our father who wants to give it to us, who has mercy on us, who likes us and loves us, and Malkeinu, and you're the one who can give it to us, you have the ability to give it to us, please do Refuah Shleima and Parnasa Tov and all the various things, and Manah Magefo, Minachal Osecho. Another little point which might help you in your davening, we use the word Shimcho a lot in davening. Shimcho, when you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the word Shimcho means HaKadosh, the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we see. Let's say, for example, Ato Kodosh v'Shimcho Kodosh. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kodosh means it's beyond our understanding. Doesn't only mean holy. It means it's me'eva lasog yisein. It's something above our asog we can't even understand. You can't relate to it b'chlam. And Shimcho Kodesh means that even the part that you show us, and the part that we can perceive, that's also me'eva lasog yisein. So the word Kodesh and the word Shimcho is used a lot in davening. I hope that these two words might help you here and there to understand things better. In the Musaf we say on page 484, we say in the end of Nisan Netoykev Kedusha Sayoim, we say over there, Odom Yesoidom Mehofo, Soifel Hofo, that Moshul Kecheres Anishbo, Kechotze Yovish, it says a person is like a broken shard, a withering grass, a fading flower, a passing shade, a dissipating cloud, a blowing wind, a flying dust, and a fleeting dream. What's the next sentence? Vatohu Melech Ken Chai Vekayom, and you are the king living and enduring. So Rav Shach said that what are we saying over here? We're saying we ourselves on our own, we are nothing. We're flying dust. We're a fleeting dream. But if we stick to the Atohu Melech Kel Chai V'Kayom, who he is living, he's enduring, he's the ultimate opposite of flying dust and of things which are just passing by quickly, then that's what we become. He used to say that the culture of a Yid is to be Nitzchi, is to be somebody who lives with eternity and lives with eternity as a goal and as a meaning in his life. That's how our culture used to say. The Kultur of a Yid is Nitzchis. So that's what we're saying over here. Even though us and ourselves, the Data Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's nothing, it's dust, it's a withering grass. But Ato Melech El Chai V'Kayim, you give us our Nitzchis. You give us our reason, raison d'etre, as they say in French. There's the most amazing Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in Parshas B'chukosai, and if you don't believe me, I can show it to you, that Tov Shin Pei is going to be a very difficult year for Klal Yisrael. Says it clearly, Tov Shin Pei is a past year. And then he writes that Tov Shin Pei Aleph is going to be a very good year. And he says, as we said on it, the Pasuk, which we say in Halel, Me Ashpois Yorim Evyon. From the Ashpois, from the Yorim Evyon, I would pick up the Evyon. Ashpois is the letters Tov Shin Pei Aleph. May Ashpois, from Tov Shin Pei Aleph Yorim Evyon. So we should daven with a lot of hope that this Mevuah, this Peirus of the Chasam Sofer, has been at the end of Tzukim, Shetach be Miskayim, that it should be May Ashpois Yorim Evyon. I will conclude with one more vote on the Perek of Tehillim, which we mentioned both after Ma'ariv, both nights after the Shemoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv, we say this Perek Tehillim, and it's also in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. We say over there, as we say that really every Sunday in the Shir Shel Yoyim, we say, Su Shori Voshechem V'Nosu Pischi Oilom V'Yovoi Melech HaKovoit Mizeh Melech HaKovoit Hashem Izuz V'Giboi Hashem V'Giboi Melchomo. So Shorim Moshechem Osu Pischi Oilom V'Yovoi Melech HaKovoit Mizeh Melech HaKovoit Hashem Tzvokoi So Melech HaKovoit Selo. Now there's a slight difference which I'm not sure if you've noticed, but if you've noticed I will tell you what it is. And the first time it says Su Shorim Moshechem V'Hinosu Pischi Oilom. And the second time it says Su Shorim Moshechem Usu Pischi Oilom. What is going on over here? So the pshat is that the first one is talking about Olam Hazeh, where the Ra, where the Yetzirah and the Satan have their power, they have their shlita in the world. And he can convince people to do Averis. And therefore it's difficult for a person to recognize Hashem Yisboach and his Malchus and to come closer to him. And you need a lot of Siyata Dishmaya for it. And Hashem is a Gibor Milchom, Hashem fights the Ra in this world. Which means they have to be lifted, the Pischa Olam. They don't get lifted by themselves. Because we need the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Siyu of Hashem Yisboach, to open up the Pischa Olam, to open up the Shefa of Toiva in the world. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yovei Melech HaKovot. And what is Melech HaKovot in the first one? Izuz V'Gibor is strength, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his strength, in fighting the Ra and punishing the bad. Whereas the last psukim are talking about the Tkuf of Losid Lovoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mevatel the Ra, like we daven Rosh Hashanah, that the Ra should be destroyed. And at that point, everyone be Makir Malchus Shem Yisbarach, the Shmonesah is full of it. And then it's going to be Su'u Pischa Olam. The Pischa Olam are going to be lifted by themselves. Malchus Hashem is going to be recognizable on our own, without help of Hashem. And all the gates will be opened of the Achashvah, Kodesh Bochov, Yehovah, Melech HaKovet. Who's going to be the Melech HaKovet at that time? Hashem Tzvoko is the Melech HaKovet. And it's going to be clear to everyone that Kodesh Bochov is in charge of all the Tzvois of Malo and Mato, and he's Melech HaKovet Zelo. When we talk about Malchus, we have to realize that the Maral says in the end of Ovois that the world was created for the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for his reason to show his covet and his Malchus in this world. So he said the Maral of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can show his Malchus in two ways. He can show it by punishing for Aveiros. And he can show it, and that's what he wants us to do, is showing us his kovod and his malchus by being able to reward us for our good deeds. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that's what we're davening for, that the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should turn into the real kovod that he wants, the Melech HaKovod, who's going to give us schar for all the good things that we did. And Emir Hashem will be zoicher to the shofar gadol of the Mashiach. Shofar Gadol means it's a great shofar because it's made out of all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael over the generations. That all that makes it a big shofar, and we should be zoichah to the geula b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.
Can we ask a question?
Ask questions. You can ask questions.
I have a question, Rabbi. Two questions.
Sure.
One is as you had said, as an example, so for instance, by the shofar, at the blowing, since we may not be hearing it, should we say the word itself, or if we know what the sound should be, should we say the sounds?
I still hope that people are going to go around and do tkiyas shofar in the various streets, and you will be able to hear a shofar.
From what I understand, it'll be much later in the, you know, in the day, and it may not be that we're all going to hear it.
Ah, you mean
during the davening?
No, I don't think it's necessary.
And what about the Mosaf? When would be the appropriate time? Do we finish all the way through Aleinu and then later do it, or should we not say Aleinu? And then finish Aleinu after Musaf.
You can finish off your davening and have the Tkiyas Shofar later.
And what about Musaf?
Yeah, concluding Musaf, you can finish off all your davening. If you get to hear the Shofar only by Mincha time, that's fine.
No, I meant if you finish Musaf before, if you're ready to finish, let's say by 9 in the morning already. You'd mentioned not to say Musaf so early.
Right. Shouldn't start Musaf or Tkiyas Shofar if you're by Yechidus before 9:30.
So if you're done, do you finish Aleinu and then come back after 9:30 and do Musaf?
Yeah. No, not Aleinu. Just say what's written in the Machzor. You finish, you get the Kriyas HaTorah, you skip, and you start Musaf afterwards. You can say the Pesukim of the Tkiyas Shofar if you like.
Why can't you say Musaf early? Al Pi Halacha, or?
It's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah.
Ah. It's in Avodah Zorah.
Based on the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. Oh. It's an aloha in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not a minhag. It's aloha. It's a serious aloha. You shouldn't do it. Good things about it.
Question?
Question.
Hello?
Yeah.
If I ask a question,
do we have to forego Kaparat with Darin this week?
Yeah,
you
should try and do that.
Well, what was the question? You should try and do what?
For us Nadorim.
How can we do it without Abedikin?
I'm sure that the grower will set up something, how they're going to be able to do it over the phone or something.
Just find two neighbors to do it, sit with, or three neighbors, actually.
Some people can't do that. Because they're in Bidud, so.
Ah, yeah.
If you have contact with three men, then you can do it at home, obviously. But,
yeah.
If not, then you'll
nullify your vows.
I have a question regarding what we're supposed to daven. I thought you were going to cover that. Do we say the Chazan's Chazoros Hashatz or not?
No, you don't say the Chazoros Hashatz. And I said in the very beginning of the Shir that they're going to send out either tomorrow or Thursday a letter from the Gra, guidelines written by Avraham Jacobson exactly what to say and what not to say. I thought it would take two page by page. You're going to have it all written down nicely. And clearly, it should be coming either tomorrow or Thursday.
It will be in English?
In English, from the brochure.
Thank you, Shkoya.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Ragland.
You're welcome. Mr. Leshen, it's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice and see you.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Shkoyach, Shkoyach. Rabbi Osher, it's nice to see you as well. I can't even get to use your chat these days.
Neither can you.
No, can I?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Kol tov, tada. L'kasim ha'achim 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 Rabbi.
Shana Tova, everybody.
All have a good day.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.